One of the Psalms that we seem to go back to is Psalm 32. And we had talked about this Psalm in these past 3 weeks with the series on God's guidance. Psalm 32 is a wonderful Psalm. Many of them are. And there's a heading of this Psalm. It's called a maskil. It's a maskil. And basically that word means instruction. Some writers think that it was the tune it was set to, but we'll see that word in other places in Scripture. It's instruction. So the Holy Spirit had David write this psalm as instruction. And this psalm is also the first of, I believe, seven so-called penitential psalms. Not penitentiary, but penitential. Penitent. He's offering a prayer of sorrow for his sin. Okay, there's seven of them in there. In each of those, the author, the psalmist, acknowledges or confesses his trespasses before the Lord and recognizes his need for God's favor and forgiveness. They're really wonderful psalms when we are loaded with guilt or we're loaded with sin and we want to confess. Sometimes when we don't have the words that we can get out to the Lord, you know, Psalm 51 is a good one, Psalm 32, and there's others. Well, in Psalm 32, we had talked about verses 8 and 9. Love these verses. Always great to have them in the back of your mind. Verses 8 and 9, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. That's a wonderful thing we can latch on to. I will guide thee with mine eye. We talked about that God's going to guide us. And of course, verse 9, don't be stubborn. You remember talking about that last week. Don't be stubborn about things. But as I was studying this psalm, verses 1 and 2 stuck out to me. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 32, he starts out and he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Interesting, he uses these words, transgression, sin, iniquity, and guile. Now, go over to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. In Jeremiah chapter 33, now it's not the psalmist writing, but certainly it's the Holy Spirit giving the inspiration. In Jeremiah 33, in verse 8, we see the same combination of words. The Bible says, and of course the Lord is speaking, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. The biblical writers, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, use different words to refer to sin in its many forms. However, regardless of the particular word that's used, and how depraved a human heart may become, we have to remember, Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient to cover all sin. In fact, to be reminded of that, we're going to go to a number of verses here. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. We're going to look at these four words. If you haven't guessed it, we're going to look at these four words briefly this morning: transgression, sin, iniquity, and guile. Well, is there one that Christ forgives and one that doesn't? No. No. John 1:29, the Bible reminds us, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This word here, sin, is a general, broad, hey, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sins and mine, all sins. Okay, we find that in 1 John 1:7. We won't turn there. In Romans 5:18, the Bible reminds us, therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men, you and me, all people, to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Remember, the Bible tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned, I've sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:12 reminds us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. We know that. But, of course, in Romans 5:18, it talks about the free gift. That reminds us of the verse that we know, Romans 6:23, right? For the wages of sin is death. There's a payment for sin. We're going to talk about sin today. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that. And I had to go back through and just praise the Lord for salvation when I looked at these verses on sin and iniquity. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. These verses talk about and tell us that we are sinners. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice, and we need a Savior. Individually, you need a Savior, I need a Savior, and there was a day that I accepted Jesus Christ as the payment for my sins, and I hope and I pray that the same is for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we're talking about sin, we can rejoice that we have Jesus Christ. So if you're saved this morning, you can rejoice when we talk through this. If you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Christ as the payment for your sins, you can do so. You need to do so. Today, the Bible reminds us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today is the day of salvation. So we're going to talk some about sin. We're going to talk about sin, iniquity, transgression, and guile, just to do a little word study to understand them. So in Psalm 32, let me see here. Go back to Psalm 32. Go back to Psalm 32. So in Psalm 32, I was reminded and I thought about, these are God's words. Okay, they're not my words and they're not some man's words. Remember, we know that God inspired his word and God preserved his word. And God preserved his word in the King James Bible for us so we could understand it. And so these are God's words. And if God has his words, I want to understand them. I want to know what he wants me to know about his words. And again, those words are transgression, sin, iniquity, and guile. Have you ever wondered about that? You read that verse and you think, well, what is all of that? All right, we know sin. In fact, look at verse 5 of Psalm 32. So we looked at verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 5. David writes, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. This combination of words, I don't find guile in this verse, but this combination of words is there. And so I wanted to do a word study, and so we're going to do a word study this morning about these words. And the intention is, on any Sunday school lesson, of course, preaching, of course, but any Sunday school lesson, is we learn something from the Word of God, and we should always be asking ourselves, how does this apply to my life? Lord, what do you want me to get from your word about what I've learned from your word? And so this quick lesson is just today, is not going to be so we can classify our sins, okay? Now, I'm going to sometimes use the word sin to cover everything, and we'll see that we do that. But it's not to classify our sins. Well, that's just a little bit of guile. that doesn't rise to the level of iniquity. That may be true, but it's all sin. And all of it needs a payment, and that payment was paid by Jesus Christ. And if you haven't taken Jesus Christ as your Savior individually, that means you're not saved. That means if you were to die right now, you would spend eternity in a devil's hell. We don't want that. All sin must be paid for. All sin must be covered by the blood of Jesus, and you can be saved today. And I praise the Lord for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, whose blood was shed for my sins and yours. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Well, the first word we're going to talk about that we saw in Psalm 32, so I'm going to get my Psalm 32 here, is transgression. So you're in Psalm 32, and, verses 1 and 2, let me find that just so I have it. We are going to talk about transgression. Now, transgression is one of the words that the psalmist uses, and when we look at these words, I like to look to see where they're at in the Old Testament, where they're at in the New Testament, and, you know, in, what's our theme this year? What's our church theme? Study to show thyself approved. And so pastor's going through that, he's going through some Bible study tools and methods, and one of them is a Strong's concordance and the Strong's book that you can get your hands on. I would also say if you have the Power Bible CD or Power Bible, it's like $3 or $6 from the bookstore. It's powerful. You can look at, you can do a basic search on the word to find the Hebrew meaning or the Greek meaning, and it's nothing really, really in depth, but it helps us understand. So this word transgression means it can mean a trespass or a revolt, okay? It can mean to break away from a just or righteous authority. It can also mean apostatize, okay? Apostasy meaning to go away from. We'll talk about that, to offend, to rebel, okay? This is a transgression. When we look at transgression in the New Testament, in the Greek, you find kind of the same thing. Meaning, to go contrary to violate a command to, and again, we see trespass, all right? We're already getting a picture of transgression. In the Bible, in our King James Bible, so I looked at different ways transgression appears, like transgression or transgress or transgressions, the plural. Transgressed, transgresseth, transgressor. Okay, you look at these things just for an understanding. It appears about 165 times in our Bible. Interestingly enough, only 19 of them in the New Testament. Now that doesn't mean there's not an emphasis on them in the New Testament. The word can appear once in the Bible, and God means business, right? And so so it appears that many times, though. It's to overpass something. It's like overpassing a rule or a law, if you will. Okay, some principle of moral rightness. It can also mean rebellion. Okay, rebellion. Rebellion's an interesting word. When rebellion, you know, I don't just think of January 6th, right? You know, rebellion. But, you know, rebellion is an interesting word. Rebellion can be in your heart and not have an outward manifestation. But it can be in your heart, okay? And so, right there, the Lord said, well, how's your heart today? And how's your heart today? Is there some transgression, some rebellion in your heart that there's no outward manifestation? I don't know. Something for you to think about when you think of this word transgression and you think of rebellion. There's other words to deal treacherously with, to depart treacherously, disloyalty. There's a lot of, when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, there's a lot of different words that help describe this word transgression. It reminds me that man, I don't want to be guilty of a transgression. We are learning about the book of Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about transgression. And so when you think of all these words that I just said that kind of describe transgression, it's a stepping over, it's a stepping away from, it is a breaking of something, a law, a commandment, so forth, a trespass. There are certain signs around my property that says no trespassing. I don't want somebody stepping over the property line in certain areas of the property line. So don't trespass. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Now, pastor's getting into all that. I would urge you to be here on a Wednesday night to hear those things. It was added because of transgressions. Well, the law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. It was added because of stepping over God's moral law, God's moral expectations. So the law, well, look at verses 24 and 25. What does verses 24 and 25 say? Let me see. Skip, would you stand and read verses 24 and 25? Okay, so schoolmaster. So we're learning this on Wednesday nights, that the law was our schoolmaster to show us about transgression. So this transgression, so I'm talking about transgression, it's a stepping over. And I have to ask myself, what am I stepping over? Am I currently stepping over something? Have I got something in my heart, in my mind, or am I doing something that is transgressing God's moral law? Okay. In Hebrews 9:15, you can go there. So I'm getting the idea here is transgression is to trespass. It's to go beyond one's right by violating a boundary or a law. Okay. Some of you out there sped on your way to church. Should I call names? No. Okay, I know. Catherine's looking at me. I'm not going to call names, Catherine, okay? All right? Transgressing. I mean, a simple example, but, you know, a speed limit is a speed limit. Transgressing. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, and that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance, speaking of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, but the redemption of the transgressions, the stepping over, the lawless deed. So, now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. So, we're kind of beating transgression to death here. We're going to move on. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. So transgressions is one word that the psalmist uses in Psalm 32. All right? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened. Quickened meaning made alive. He's talking to the saved. When we get saved, we get made alive. We get quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. This tells me that a trespass is a bad thing. It's a sin. It's sinning. But he makes a distinction. He says trespasses and sins. So, again, it's not up to me to classify the bad stuff I do. Well, it's just a little trespass. It's all sin, and I need to be made alive by Jesus Christ because I was dead in trespasses. and sins. So you get the idea here of this word trespasses. We're dead because of trespasses and sins. And I'm thankful being justified, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, I thought about this and I thought, well, man, this is just kind of like a Salvation Sunday school. Well, amen, let it be so. All right? Okay, so one other thing, and then we're going to move on. Trespasses can be intentional or non-intentional, okay? There might be a time that you sin, you don't realize you're sinning, or certainly most times we're making a choice to sin, and we'll get into that in a minute. Leviticus chapter 5 talks about a trespass offering. Okay, we talked about transgression can mean trespass. And in Leviticus, the Old Testament offerings, there's a trespass offering. It's a very interesting read. You ought to get Dr. Starr's book on the Old Testament feasts or offerings. Very small book, but very, very informative about that. So, anyways, we're going to go back to, I don't know, there's just so much. Let's go to Psalm 19, okay? Let's go to Psalm 19. Transgression can also give the meaning of a presumptuous sin. What's a presumptuous sin? We're talking about sins, right? Well, presumptuous would mean proud, arrogant, self-willed. Psalm 19 and verse 13. So again, we're talking about the word transgression. It can also mean presumptuous sin. Psalm 19 gives us an insight to presumptuous. Psalm 19, verse 13, the Bible says, "Keep back thy servant." Here's a prayer. "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." This gives us insight to what a presumptuous sin is. That is, oh, it can have dominion over me. I give myself enough to it, it can have dominion over me. Another verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. It tells us about presumptuous sins, being proud, being self-willed. Well, that gives me an idea about what this word transgression is all about. Proud, self-willed, when I transgress, not a good thing. It's all sin, you understand, and we need a Savior to pay the price for that sin. Well, in Psalm 32, he also talks about, so the word transgression appears there. The word sin appears there, all right? "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven," so it needs forgiven, "and whose sin is covered." Now, sin, you know, you would think sin appears a lot in Scripture. And it does, all right? So studying the word sin, I mean, you know, it could be a weeks-long study. We're not going to do that. But sin, you've heard it preached from the pulpit, and you know, it basically means to miss the mark, to miss the mark. It can refer to doing something against God or against a person. There was a time that Pharaoh in Egypt, after some of the plagues came upon him, and Pharaoh called Moses back and he said, "Oh, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you." So sin, the word sin is used when doing something against God or against a person. It can be doing the opposite of what is right. It can be something that will have negative results. We know, well, sin bringing forth death. Or failing to do something you know is right. We found that in James. "To him that knoweth to do right, doeth it not. To him it is sin." Okay? So sin is a general term that for anything that falls short of the glory of God. We know that. Romans 3:23. All right? We also know something more about sin. Go to 1 John 3:4. So 1 John chapter 3. We've seen this before. So 1 John chapter 3, and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth. Oh, there's that word, transgression. Transgresseth also the law. Steps over the law. Steps over God's moral commands. Steps over what God wants. Okay? Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. In 1 John 5:17, the Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So sin is this term that we use biblically correct, generally for all the bad stuff that we do, stuff that's against God. And there's nothing wrong with that general sense, as long as that you and I understand that we are part of the all who have sinned and need a Savior. Okay. Additionally, you and I, in looking at what the Bible has to say, you and I need to see our sin for how God sees our sin. Because so many times we can downplay our sin, we can brush it off, we can downplay it, I guess, you know, ignore it. We need to make sure that we see sin the way God sees sin. And we've seen some of it is, man, it brings forth death. It's a breaking of His law. It's a lack of conformity to what God wants. It can be the omission of something He says to do or the commission of something He says not to do. It's not a mere violation maybe a law of our land or a system of things like laws, ordinances, regulations, but it's an offense against a personal lawgiver and moral governor, which is God. We have to remember that sin is not just that stepping over the law. It's not just the action. It is against a holy God. It's sin, okay? Sin, the word sin, like I said, you can well imagine, it appears, well, let's see, over 760 times in Scripture, okay? I didn't count each one. You go to different Bible programs or Strong's, you can count there. But, you know, it would appear as sin or sinner or sinneth or sins. When you study a word, much like some of the words we studied in the book of James, you would want to look across Scripture, across the New Testament or the Old Testament, and see where it appears. Now, when studying sin, I didn't, you know, get to study everything because appearing that many times in Scripture, there would be some different Hebrew roots to it or different Greek roots to it, okay? But looking at some of these, it all would mean generally the same thing. It's against God. And, you know, the thing I was reminded of, and we know this, but sometimes you need to step back and go, yes, I'm capable of sin. Of course I am. I'm given to sin. My flesh is. My flesh fights against the Spirit. So I need that Savior. Dear God, thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. As I look at these words, and I'm looking at these words because they're in Your Word, and You have something for me in them. So one of the things that I do when I look at a word like sin, so there's, you know, like I said, it appears a lot of times in Scripture, is I will look at, well, when's the first time it appears in the Old Testament? When's the first time it appears in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Remember that, you know, the word sin that we know of generally means to miss the mark. I don't want to miss God's mark. And what's Paul say? I press toward the, I want to please my Lord. I want to do what He says is right. Well, the first time sin appears in Genesis is Genesis, or in the Old Testament, is Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. And of course, God speaking here, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Who's God talking to? Cain. God's talking to Cain here after he killed Abel. And so here's this first appearance of the word sin. So look at that Hebrew root there. And, you know, it's an offense against God. It's missing the mark. And so it gives me an idea of what this word means as compared to transgression. Okay? When I look at the New Testament, go to Matthew chapter 12. Now, again, we're just doing a brief word study, nothing in depth. We know about sin. We know what sin is. We know sin demands a penalty. And Jesus Christ came down from heaven, died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Bible says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Oh, praise God for that. If you just step back and meditate on that verse, all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's not the topic of the study today, but here's the first time it appears in the New Testament. The Greek behind this word is harmartia. Harmartia. And that's where we get the word harmartiology, the doctrine of sin, okay? Now, again, for a complete study of this word, you'd have to look at almost every instance of it, look and see what the roots are. But you get the idea, you understand, in Psalm 32, and we saw in Jeremiah, the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to put the word transgressions and put the word sin, and he also inspired the writer to put the word iniquity. Okay, so if we look at that verse, Psalm 32, he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." So what's that word mean? There's the third word, all right? Now, iniquity, and again, I have to ask myself the question, how does this apply to me? Iniquity is more deeply rooted. Iniquity means to premeditate, or iniquity means often refers to a premeditated choice. We saw that kind of in transgression. To commit iniquity is to continue without repentance. Okay? Go to Micah chapter 2. While you're turning to Micah chapter 2, another psalm that I love, you know, and it's a good psalm, is Psalm 51, where David is writing. It's a penitential prayer, and he writes in verse 2 of that, in Psalm 51, he writes, "Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." We see that combination of words. So what's iniquity? If it's in God's word, I need to know, I want to know, does it apply to me? Can I get into iniquity? The answer is yes. Can you get into iniquity? The answer is yes. Micah chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that devise iniquity." Well, when it says devise, that means something I'm thinking about, something I'm planning to do, iniquity. That already tells me there's something that I don't want to be in my life. Now, it can be. Certainly my flesh and your flesh given to sin, and the Spirit fights against our flesh. The Hebrew word used most often for iniquity means guilt worthy of punishment. All right? Iniquity has been described as sin at its worst because it's premeditated, it's continuing, it's escalating. When we flirt with sin, we fall for the lie that we can control it. When we flirt with sin, we fall for the lie that we can control it. When we give ourselves over to a sinful lifestyle, or just a little peek at sin or a little bit of sin, and we give over and over and over, it can become iniquity. It's becoming iniquity. It's becoming our God rather than the Lord. Okay? We're reminded in Romans chapter 6, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I praise God for that, okay? It shall not have dominion over you, but we've got to give ourselves to God. Now, of course, God forgives iniquity as he does any type of sin. When we repent, we actually saw that in Jeremiah 33:8. God says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, okay? Iniquity left unchecked leads to a state of willful sin with no fear of God. So you get the idea. Just in those little words, in the things that iniquity means, this premeditated choice, this ongoing sin, this guilt worthy of punishment. When the Holy Spirit had these writers put in transgressions, sins, and iniquities, he is covering the bases, all right? He's covering. And so, you know, there's some warnings to us in Romans chapter 1. I'll just read this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He goes on and he lists a bunch of things. These people were involved, these describing were involved in iniquity. Well, there are people like you and me. And we can be involved in iniquity. And so he uses these words very briefly. There's one other word that he uses in Psalm 32, and that is the word guile. And then guile appears 11 times in Scripture, and the root words behind that mean deceit, deceptiveness, cheating. Okay? Guile. So if we look at Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit had the writer write these words. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceptiveness, craftiness, subtlety, okay, treachery, no guile. So in Psalm 32, I see four words that the writer used to describe all this bad stuff. So why, as I was studying this, I said, Lord, why, you know, so this is just some simple word study, and we barely scratched the surface. Why, Lord, would you want me to do this in a crowd that, well, would probably have an idea of these words? And the Lord brought to my mind two things. Number one, we're getting ready to go into revival services in a couple weeks. We're going to have revival services. Men gather and pray on Sunday evenings for revival. And the question came to my mind, the Lord asked me, do you really want revival, right? There's a song that says that. And if I really want revival, I need to be honest with myself and say, I can be guilty of any one or all of those. Transgression, of course, stepping over God's law. Sin, the general term for bad stuff. Iniquity. Oh, my. If you look at that, if you look in the mirror, and God says, hey, iniquity applies to you. You need to get right. That is bad. And guile, deceitfulness, cheating. All right? We need to get cleansed. We need to get right with the Lord. We need to do what David said. Lord, would you cleanse me of these things? It's a reminder to the Christian, to me and to you. Boy, we got to get this stuff out of our life. Just looking at the words, that's all. And number two, it reminded me, if you're not saved, here are these things that are in my life. Man, I'm dead in trespasses and sins. If I'm not saved, I need that Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, I'll be saved. You'll be saved. Your sin, your trespasses, your iniquities, they deserve a penalty of death. And you need a Savior. You need to be saved today. We're not promised our next breath. We're not promised Jesus Christ could appear right now. And where would you wind up for eternity? Well, I know there's a lot more I could say about these words, but just a simple little study to say those words, they're God's words. And God has meaning, and God has a reason He wants you to know them. They're in His Word. Let's bow.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,